Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion.
You're listening to Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
Good morning, Penelope Noir. Are you there? Come in.
Morena, how are you?
Yeah, good. Good. Now, we're keeping it on sort of the environmental tip again this week.
I thought we should cover off Ghana and, some other places like Kenya and Senegal, because we talked about Chile last year and the clothing dumping and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, tell us more. Where do we start with Ghana? Is it a major destination for secondhand clothing or leftover clothing?
Yeah, totally. So it imports about 15 million items of secondhand clothing per week. They're called locally as a Brony Wawu, which is dead white man's clothes. And it's the world's biggest importer of secondhand clothing. I think it's $214 million US dollars in 2021 that they imported.
Why are they importing? Is it simply for landfill, or is it for the recycling for the population over there to wear? Why are they importing so much?
So it's basically to create jobs. So they import all the clothing and then it's sorted and then sent out. So it's resold. So it's recirculating clothing. And it kind of, I was trying to figure out how it started. And according to The Guardian, it emerged in the 1960s out of a colonial era mindset that pushed Ghanaians to adopt Western clothing. And so I think they're not the only country that does it. It's also Kenya and Senegal. So in Kenya, they used to employ 5 million people in textile industry, cotton farmers, weavers, tailors. But today it's less than 20K because they're importing secondhand clothing as well. In 2018, Rwanda banned importing secondhand clothing to prioritise recovery of its own textile industry. So the clothing that goes into Ghana goes to a market called Kantamanto, which I think I mentioned last week, and it covers about 7 hectares, which is 18 acres of land. It provides work for approximately 30,000 people, and they are recirculating about 6 million items of clothing a week, which is pretty amazing out of that 15 that's being imported. But it's not all of it, of course. And it's not because of the fact that they're not efficient. It's just that there's too much clothing going in there. And they do need to be importing the clothing for their economy because it employs so many people. So it's not a matter of, kind of stopping it. It's just a matter of reducing how much goes there.
What happens to the excess?
So the excess goes into, it gets sorted. Some of it goes to be resold in other countries. Some gets cut up and remade into other clothing. Some gets taken to different, like there are people that buy the clothing for a small amount and then take it to other, villages and other cities to sell to other Ghanaians and things like that. But the waste is bundled up and by the local authorities every day and sent to at the moment, it's a deeper dump, which is 30 miles north of Kantamanto, because there are 10 other dumps in Ghana's capital that have closed in the past decade because they were too full. And even though the clothing waste is packed and sent to the dump, not all of it is captured. And they have monsoon seasons, and so that acts as a catalyst of pushing back clothing and dye and everything into the sea. So if you look up Ghana and look at the situation there, it is catastrophic when you see how much goes into the sea. And there are people trying to clean it up, but it's just impossible. And they have these, I was watching a documentary on YouTube by ABC News, and it's called The Environmental Disaster Fueled by Used Clothes and Fast Fashion. And they have these strings of clothing that can be up to 30 feet long and 3 feet wide, and you just can't untangle it. So, the sea is no longer kind of living. The turtles can't come to the beach. The coral's dying. Fishes can't fish. So it's pretty horrific, And I also mentioned last week, what can be done about this. And there is the extended producer responsibility, which is about producers are obliged by this policy to contribute to the disposal of waste generated by their products. But France is the only country with this for textiles at the moment. And it doesn't, like the fee paid is as low as six cents euro. And they want to kind of make it up to half a euro per item to guarantee a fair portion goes towards the end of line countries, and at least 10% of that towards an environmental cleanup fund. But it's just like, yeah, if you're interested in this, watching the YouTube like documentaries is quite an eye opener and quite stressful, you know.
From a fashion industry perspective, who do you think is the most responsible for this crisis? The manufacturers, the consumers, or governments? Who do you think it falls on?
I think it's everybody, because you know, like the fast fashion industry is only answering to a demand. So if they kind of stop mass producing, then people won't buy. Like, you know, like I mentioned last week, there used to be four seasons in a year, but fast fashion create 52 seasons, like one per week. And so, you know, it's up to us as consumers not to buy fast fashion, to concentrate on buying secondhand clothing when we can, if we need to buy something new, and just making sure that we use our clothing and repair it to the best of its ability, you know, or the best of our ability. And then, yeah, just stopping buying, and then the fast fashion industry won't produce as much, you would hope, you know. But I guess it kind of also ends up being this other kind of vicious cycle where if fast fashion stops producing so much, then people who are like in the poorer countries that are making it, then they suffer because they don't have jobs either. So it's really quite scary, the whole vicious circle, you know, catch-22 situation.
Do you see any of the major fashion brands taking accountability for the end of life of their products in countries like Ghana?
Well, Shein, which is probably one of the most, you know, well-known and worst kind of fast fashion giant, they a couple of years ago pledged $15 million for textile waste workers in Ghana, because there's also you know, there's also this thing where in Ghana a lot of people are paid to carry bales of clothing on their heads, and it weighs about 55 kilos, and they get paid about $1 a trip. And it's usually women from, you know, the north of Ghana that come down, and they're migrant, like economic migrants. But it's really, really dangerous because a lot of them carry their babies on their back. And if they fall backwards, you know, you can just imagine the disaster and the horrific nature of what happens there. So it's like, so they're trying to help the actual workers, but I'm not sure whether that actually goes back into the environment as well.
Now, I mean, I guess one last question for you, Penny. How is the situation that we spoke about this morning and also last week changing? Is it changing the way people view the global secondhand clothing trade?
Well, I mean, I hope so. I just want people to be really aware of it, so that, because I know a lot of people think, well, you know, I'm one person, can I change anything? Mm-hmm. But, you know, if everyone kind of listening goes, oh, okay, maybe I won't go and buy that fast fashion item this week. Not that I'm sure that our audience would, but you know what I mean? It's just kind of like, if all of us have a think about it before we purchase, that can make a difference, you know?
And maybe worth spending a bit more on something that might last a bit longer.
Yeah, and I know that's hard, but I guess, you know, we've got to try and like maybe save a little bit before we purchase, or maybe after pay or something like that, if we know that we can handle that, you know?
Excellent. All right. Hey, Penelope Noir, thank you so much for fashion this morning. We'll look forward to checking in with you next week.
Thanks.
Cheers. Bye.
That was Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.